fulfillment of it all. Amen? Now, it's different and similar, you know, from when we were children to what we are now, most of us who are adults in here now. But when we were children, we were in wonder and excitement in the house, the tree being put up, the smells of freshly baked treats throughout the house, the excitement of friends and family coming to see us that we hadn't seen in a long time. I mean, we were truly excited, right? Now, I want us to go back to one that I just talked about a second ago, because I realized something yesterday. My wife is always pointing out to me that as we go through and you'll see construction traffic and she'll say, a man came up with that. That was a man thing. Or you'll see something that just doesn't seem right, Tony. She'll say, that was a man's idea. Yesterday afternoon, I realized something, church. Would you like for me to share it with you? Good, I think I will. You know, I like Christmas. But you know whose idea it was to put a tree, a live tree, or any kind of tree inside the house? That was a woman's idea. Do you hear me? All the nasty branches, all the things that fall on the floor, the bugs that come in with the tree. That was a woman's idea. But it's Christmas. Right, Kenny? We put on a brave face and we spend 45 minutes trying to get that tree. And it's okay if it's a little crooked to me. Right, Bill? Hey, do you feel the love? But if it's a... Bob's back there. Bob, don't say anything. I know you agree. Hey, but if it's just a little... I mean, I thought my wife was going to put a level on it yesterday, Poppy. You know, I'm just like, it looks good to me from the church. It really does. But that was a woman's thing. But it's part of the amazement of Christmas. It seems, though, as we grow older, things that excite us most as children seem to fade, and the wonderment of the real Christmas sets in its rightful place. Today, I want us to look at the first of all Christmas miracles. And I'm going to say this before, and I'm going to say this after I read the scripture. I believe that we miss so much. We really do. And the hustle and bustle and the going here and going there. But we also miss a lot when we read through scripture quickly. Now, I'm going to admit to you, I've read this scripture, and I'm sure many of y'all have read through this scripture hundreds of times. But what I got out of it, what I received this past week as I studied for this message, I've never seen before quite this way. So this morning, let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Keep them awake. They're going to stay awake. If we buzz them again. Okay. John. Oh, turn me down. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning. And all things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created. And that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came to us to witness and testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light, who gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took residence among us. We observed his glory, and the glory is the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me has surpassed me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness. And although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is the Father's at the Father's side. He has revealed him." Let's pray. Father, as we enter this time, that we open your word, God, where we just want to be nourished by your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us. God, I pray that you would be with me. Lord, help me to present this message in such a way that gives honor and glory to you. God, you know where I am right now. You're in today, you're in yesterday, and you're already in tomorrow. You know that I was going to be standing here feeling the way I feel, God, but I pray that you won't let Satan, you know, get his side and his way this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me strength to preach this message in such a way, Lord, that we will all magnify and glorify you for who you are, God. Not because of the messenger, Lord, but because of the message. How powerful it is, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Can I tell you that there are many wonders of Christmas that as we look through Scripture, we might be overlooking? How many of y'all have read through Scripture and you've read it many, many times and you'll read it just this one more time and your eyes will be open? You're just like, I've never quite seen it the way I just saw it just then. This morning, I hope to do that for you right now. Let's look at some overlooked miracles of Christmas. Now, we know there's many, especially in Matthew and Luke, where you get the extensive writings of the Christmas stories. You see the genealogies, you see the birth, you see the introduction to Elizabeth, and you see the how when Mary came to Elizabeth that John the Baptist jumped in her belly. And those are just extensive versions of the gospel. This morning, you might have been, I didn't see the Christmas message in that, Brother Kyle, but it's right there. It's right there for all of us to see. And as we look at the book of John, he talks about some miracles that Matthew and Luke don't really even address. So those are the ones I want to see. Those are the ones that I want you to see this morning. So what are some overlooked miracles of Christmas? Well, number one, y'all didn't see it, I'm sure. I hope some of you saw it. Listen to this. Jesus has always been. He has always been. From the very beginning. I'm glad that we as Christians take time and set apart and we celebrate the birth of Jesus in the flesh, but I don't know that we might be getting something wrong. How can we celebrate, truly, Brother Frank, celebrate the birth of someone who's always been? He's always, always, always been. According to this and many other scriptures, when the earth was created, Jesus was alive and an integral part of creation. Do y'all understand this? When the earth was formed and had a void, Jesus was there. When light came upon the depths of the ocean, Jesus was there. When land formed out of nothing, out of the oceans, and the oceans stopped at the borders of the land and did not come any further, listen, Jesus was there. When the birds came in the sky and fish out of nowhere, nothing, just came into existence and flooded the earth in the water, Jesus was there. Does that not amaze you? Jesus was there. When God picked up the dust of the ground and breathed life in it, and that became man, Jesus was there. He was there. Jesus has always, always been. I don't know if y'all heard this past week, an atheist doctor. Almost doesn't sound right, does it? Atheist doctor has stood up and said that he is going to become a god because he is going to create a man. He's going to take soul from the ground that has DNA in it from a man, whether it be blood or spit or whatever fluid that can come from, and he's going to take that dirt. And he openly stood in defiance to God and said, God, I am going to become like you because I am going to create a man from DNA that came from the dirt. I'm going to take this dirt and create a man, and I'm going to be just like you. And God said, no, you're not. That's my dirt. Amen? Church, God has always been, and with God, Jesus has always been. We see in verse 4 and 5 that the very essence of Christ was the light that shined on the conscience of man. That even with the early fathers, when they were met with the evil of darkness, the light of the Son of God expelled all darkness, and they could see what was right and wrong clearly. Church, we can look at this scripture alone today and see the darkness of evil is closing in today in this world. Not because Christ is not dispelling the darkness and not displaying His light through man any longer, but because man is choosing to reject the light of the world. This scripture today tells us that Jesus was the essence and the light of man, of all man, every man who came. Can you see the light of Christ just diminishing? Some of you older people who are here this morning. Christmas time, churches would be just jam-packed. Slam full. Look around. The light of the world is still shining bright through all who will let Him shine bright. But it's getting dimmer and dimmer because those of us who could be shining our light, should be shining our light, are choosing to reject the light. Just as this scripture talked about this morning. Do you see that if we call ourselves Christians, if we'll stand up and be counted, that God will use us to dispel the darkest of darkness that the evil one Satan can create? Church, Jesus has always been where, and it confounds us and it confines our minds. But we must admit that this is a Christmas miracle. Jesus has always been. Leah, does that just blow your mind? Jesus has always been here from the very beginning. Well, let's look at verse 14. There's something else I want you to see in verse 14. Verse 14 says this: the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son of God, Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 14 gives us the second Christmas miracle. Do you really know what this means, what I just read? Now, we talked about just a second ago, Jesus has always been. But He did something absolutely unbelievable. Jesus, the one and only Son of God, the one who was, who is, and always will be, came to this earth. He chose to come to this earth. He left all the glories of heaven. He gave up everything to have nothing. How was Jesus treated when He, the Son of God, came to earth? Miss Shirley, He had everything. Now, some of y'all know people who are rich. Some of y'all are related to somebody who's rich. I was related to some people who were very wealthy, and they always had everything. There was nothing they needed or nothing they wanted. I mean, Christmas had to have been a letdown for them because they had everything, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Christmas had to have been nothing for them. But Jesus had everything. He lived in heaven, and He left heaven to come to this nasty, stinking earth for us. Church, that's a Christmas miracle. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this: He was in the world, and the world was created through Him, yet the world did not recognize Him. Listen, it didn't matter what Jesus said. It didn't matter how many miracles Jesus performed. It didn't matter that Jesus raised men from the dead. The world would not accept Him. They would not accept him when he came, the Son of God, when he came. We can almost expect that. We'll give them that. We can almost expect, Gary, that the world wouldn't accept Christ when he came, the Son of God. But Ricky, it gets worse. This scripture tells us that he's always been. He loved us so much, he came to this earth. The world wouldn't accept him. But somebody else wouldn't either. But look at verse 11. Scripture says he came to his own. We can expect the world, Tony, won't accept him. But Scripture says in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. His own people. Jesus was prophesied to come in human form. In human form. Isaiah prophesied 730 years before the birth of Christ. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Excuse me, Isaiah chapter 9. 730 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote this: "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." 730 years before Jesus graced the earth with his presence, this was prophesied. His people knew that he was coming, but when he came, his very own people rejected him. Jesus came to his own people, the people that he created for his own self. A people that he loved, a people that he protected, a people that he guided, the people that he gave the promised land to. Listen, a people that he gave his very name to. His very name to. The world didn't receive him, and they didn't receive him. When I was a child, I didn't get to see my grandparents all that much. This past week, I was going through a drawer. Everybody does things different. We have a drawer that's full of pictures. And I'm not talking about a drawer. I'm talking about a drawer full of pictures. And my wife has the greatest intentions of going through those pictures and sorting them and putting them, you know, where they need to be and putting them in albums. But she has this order. Every time she starts looking through these pictures, her eyes start watering. She cries. And I'm not talking about, oh, that's a pretty picture. She can't talk, she can't walk, she can't cook dinner, she can't do nothing. So we have a drawer of pictures, and it has all kinds of stuff in it. And I found this past week a birthday card and a Christmas card from my grandmother Waddell. And my grandmother Waddell's been dead for about 12 years now. And as soon as I saw it, Tony, I immediately knew that it was my grandmother because I saw her handwriting. And I immediately opened it up, the contents of the letter, because I wanted to see if I had done something that I told myself I was going to do. Because my grandmother, what she did was she had seven children, and I don't know how many grandchildren, I don't know how many great-grandchildren, a lot, but not as many as you, Miss Gracie. Where's Miss Gracie? Miss Gracie, you had 100, how many great-grandchildren? Good gracious. Lord bless me, but not much, right? But this is what she would do. She'd send me a birthday and a Christmas card every year, and Brother Frank, she'd put a dollar in it. And at the top of the dollar, she would write, "Ice cream money." Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. For the majority of my life, Bob, I bought an ice cream. Because ice cream is good. Amen? Thank you. But for some reason, I saved that dollar. Nobody's going to get that dollar from me. My children might fight over it. I don't know. It might not mean as much to them. But she would always give me gifts. You know, Jesus, when he came to this earth, I don't know if you saw it in scriptures. I read through it a few minutes ago. He knew he was coming. It was prophesied that he was coming. I just want to say again, 730 years before he was coming, Isaiah prophesied about it. His own people knew he was coming. Listen, if my grandparents always brought me something or always took care, listen, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who loves us more than anybody, amen? Do you think he's going to come to this earth and not have something to bring to us? No. We just read about it. Did y'all see it? Did you see it when I read through it a few minutes ago? Jesus came and he had a whole lot of stuff that he wanted to give us. Well, can I tell you this morning that Scripture, this Scripture this morning, what Jesus wanted to give the world, what he wanted to give his own people when he came? Turn back with me to the book of John. And I'm going to show you just briefly what Jesus wanted to give. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, But all who did receive him, he gave them the right. That's important. Youth, listen, I always get on y'all, but I love y'all. When you're this age, and I remember being this age, y'all remember being this age? We thought that we had certain what? Rights. I'll never forget in all my life, you know, we live in subdivisions now, and we've got these little yards. I had an acre of grass, and it was the fescue. Y'all can't grow fescue down here. It dies in the summer. You almost have to cut it twice. Tony, did y'all have fescue in upstate South Carolina? Loved it, didn't you? It looked pretty, but it was terrible. You always had to cut it. Didn't need much water. And I thought it was, you know, my dad said, son, go cut the grass when I was able to cut, you know, old enough to cut the grass. And I thought it was my right to be paid to cut the grass. I mean, what? This didn't take like 20 minutes. This took like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And it's not flat where we are here. I mean, it was up hills and around. My dad, he had to have every tree in the world in the yard. And y'all know how it is. I mean, it's not just, you know, cutting grass like this. It's going around a tree and around a tree. I mean, I felt like I had the right to be paid something. Give me something. Well, he said, I'm letting you live in my house. Did you pay for that toothpaste? How about them underwear you got on? Did you pay for them? Socks? Shoes? We feel like we have rights. Jesus just gave us a right if we believed. Did y'all see it? Listen to what he says in verse 12. He says, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. Excuse me. Church, there are many this day who will definitely identify themselves as Christians. This is not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about people who have genuinely been transformed. You may be asking, what's the difference is? Well, what's the difference between somebody identifying themselves and somebody who has been transformed? Most every person alive will agree that Jesus was an important historical figure. Everybody will tell you that. And that does not save your lost soul. But those who believe in his name and believe in who he was and who he really was, he will make you a son of God. There's a difference. Well, I believe that Jesus was a historical figure. That's not going to save you. That's not going to give you the right to anything. Nothing. Everybody will say that. Well, I've got money in my pocket, says in God I trust. I must be a Christian. It really doesn't. But if you not only identify, but you believe in all your essence that he was the one and only Son of God. Listen, the Scripture says now you have the right to be called a son of God. That is unbelievable. Church, that's a Christmas miracle. It's a tremendous Christmas miracle. Jesus wanted something else. Scripture we just read says this. Look at verse 13. I don't want you to miss it. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. He's talking about us here. He's talking about us. Jesus wanted to give his people a new birth, a brand new birth. Well, I've already been born. I don't need another one. Yes, you do. You really do. Well, I don't sin that bad. I don't sin as bad as Mr. White. You still sin. You need to be reborn. You need to be revitalized. You need to take the gift that Jesus came to this earth to give you. Listen just a second. This birth that he's talking about here, this birth, he says, is not of the blood. It has no ties to parental blood. You can do a DNA test on me right now, and you can tell, I hope, that I came from Tony and Barbara Waddell. It'll tell you whether I did or not. Their blood is in my blood. And my blood is in Kyle's blood, and Alex's blood, and Emily's blood. We're interlocked between this bloodline. Jesus is saying this has nothing to do with the blood. It has something to do with his blood. Amen? But you know, we don't have to share the bloodline. He says this. He says there's no intimacy needed for this birth between male and female. We're not talking about, he's saying, listen, I'm not talking about an intimate relationship between a male and a female to have a child here. Thirdly, he says this. People cannot will themselves to be Christians. You can't will it. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Can't will it. You know, after I started dating Amy, about the third week, Jonathan, I came to an unbelievable realization. Me, an old drunk, was dating the granddaughter of a Southern Baptist preacher. Yeah. I'll never forget the first time I went to church and was invited to lunch afterwards. Sat right next to him. He looked at me and he said, "You go to church, son?" I said, "Well, I go to the Lutheran church." Bob, the man, was not impressed. I didn't know the differences between the doctrine and theology at the time, but I want to rest assured, Calvin Morrow knew the difference. He wasn't impressed. He loved his granddaughter. And listen, after a long period of time, you know, she told me, "If you're going to date me, you know, you're going to have to go to church." Well, I was fine with that. But you know, we dated for about a year, and you know, things started getting serious. And Bryce and I looked at her. I said, "We ought to get married one day." She said, "Oh, Jack, I was a good-looking guy. I don't know why she did, you know." She said, I can't marry you." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, I can't marry you. There's no way I can marry you. We can be friends and we can hang out and all that. I can't marry you." I said, "Well, I don't understand. Why can't you marry?" She said, "You're lost. I cannot. Scripture tells me, my grandfather tells me, I'd get this. I can't marry you until you're saved. Unless you're saved." And listen, from that point on, I like the, you know, girl, good looking woman. Hey, I like that. But I guess I'm going to have to get saved. And every time the preacher would preach a message and he'd give the invitation, "Bill, I'd want to. Inside of me, I've got to be saved, so I'm going to go down and I'm going to just go, you know, I've got to do it." You can't will yourself to get saved. You cannot. And listen to me, church, that's what scares me so much about the church. I believe there's so many, and this is what Billy Graham was saying, where he thinks 80% of all the church is lost. We will ourselves to be saved. I want to be identified as a Christian. How can you know that it's genuine instead of self-identification? Can you? Yeah, you really can. The rebirth is all about God and from God. God calls us, church, each and every one of us. He calls each and every one of us. And when He calls us, we're to answer. We come to Him knowing He is the one who can give us real and viable new life. I wanted to get saved. I wanted to walk the aisle. I wanted to be a part, and everything that was in me knew that I couldn't do that. But the one day, when I sat in the front seat of a Toyota Corolla in the mountains of North Carolina, And the presence of God pierced my soul and let me see that I was lost in need of a Savior. And there was a man who said, "Do you want to be saved today?" And I said, "Praise God, I do." That's the difference. God revealed Himself to me. He came to me and I answered. I answered. He gave me the invitation and I came to Him. Listen, we need to be careful. We need to understand that God is going to come and He's going to give us an invitation sometime in our life. The Holy Spirit of God is obligated to give you an invitation one time. Listen, the mercy of God, it gives us the invitation many times. But we don't need to miss it. Do you hear me? We really don't need to miss it. That's a gift from God. He wanted to give that to His own people, to the world. And the world missed out on it. Not only that, listen, Jesus wanted to give us something else. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says this, "Indeed we have received grace after grace." And I believe John the writer, he could have written it this way. He could have written it, "Indeed we have received grace after grace after grace after grace after grace from His fullness. For although the law was given through Moses, grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ." Church, some of y'all ought to be getting up and running right now because the grace that God has extended to you exceeds far more than you ever thought that you deserve. And listen, you didn't deserve it. If you're here this morning and you're lost, listen, you're living on grace. You're not living on your own air. Listen, if you're living in sin, if you're living a rebellious life against Christ, listen, you're living on mercy. And that mercy doesn't have to be continued to dole out to you. It's a scary place. It's a wonderful place, but it's a scary place. Jesus wanted to give us grace when He came, as we saw in verse 16 and 17. Grace equals forgiven. That's unbelievable. Grace equals pardoned. Church, we cannot, listen to me, pay attention to all I'm getting ready to say. We cannot out-sin grace. Mr. White, that's unbelievable, isn't it? Do y'all know what that means? It doesn't matter what we do. We cannot out-sin the grace of God. If God is calling us, and you know when He's calling, I mean, listen, I can try to explain it to you all morning long. When God is calling you and you know He wants you to make a decision for Him, you know it, you better come. You better come. Exactly, that might be your last chance. That's grace. Grace. Last thing that I want to show you this morning might be one of the greatest Christmas miracles. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says this, no one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. Church, listen. He was revealed. He has revealed Him. Nobody had ever seen God. Well, hold on a second. Didn't Abraham or Moses or one of our founding fathers, they were walking, Isaiah, somebody, who was it? And he said, you know, "God, I want to see Your face." And God says, "You can't see My face." And He hid in the cleft of the rock. And, well, hold on, I know I've heard that story before. You know, he did not see the fullness of God. No man has ever seen the fullness of God except for Christ. Church, what this scripture just tells us is unbelievable. Do you realize that one of the greatest Christmas miracles we have ever experienced is that Jesus wanted man to see God? Jesus wanted man to see God. He wanted man to see the fullness of God. No man had seen God, but here He now is in the form of flesh and blood, that we may know Him and love Him as He loves us. The God-man stands right here. Bill, the world rejected Him.
His own people rejected him. But here he stood in the gap, trying to make draw the distance between God and man a little closer together. And the world rejected him. Miss Shirley, he came with all these gifts that he wanted to give man. Love, mercy, grace, the true presence of God, and man still rejected him. Church, do you know that what Jesus wanted then for his people is the same thing that he wants for all of humanity today? Did y'all know that? It's all about Christmas. It's the same thing. Jesus wants to give you the right to be called the Son of God. Not that you call yourself the Son of God unrighteously. He wants to give you the right to be called the Son or the children of God. Not only that, Jesus wants to give you a new birth. The old one's not good enough. He wants to give you a new birth. He wants to give you His grace after grace after grace after grace because you belong to Him. Jesus wants you to see and to feel the presence of God through Him. That's unbelievable, church. That, church, is what Christmas is all about. That is the greatest present any person could ever receive at Christmas time. This knowledge of Jesus is the greatest present we could ever give to those who were lost. Last question. Are you willing to both receive Christ and to give His love to others? That this, church, this is what Christmas is all about. Let's all stand. Father, we love You and we thank You for this day. We thank You for this message. And Lord, without any other words, I pray that Your Spirit would move during this invitation. I pray that You would convict the lost. Let them come down and accept You right now as their personal Savior. Not on their own doings, but Lord, let them know that it's time. Right now is the time. Waiting no longer. Right now is the time. Lord, I pray that You would bring Christians to their knees this morning, seeking Your favor at Christmas time for all that You've given us. In Christ's name we do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?